This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Wherever you are, hanging in around the world, listening in to Kelly and Company, really appreciate you being with us. Maybe you're chimed in on TuneIn Radio or the Radio Player Canada app, or maybe even you have one of those Victor Reader streams, just streaming from your computer. Wherever you are, thanks a lot for being with us. Take in Kelly and Company whenever you can. The live show at 2 p.m. Eastern. The repeat of the program is at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So thanks a lot and appreciate your time, ladies and gentlemen. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of the show, and we're working our way through our Climate Action Week. And it's very interesting because we just talked about some of the little things we can do, especially to support animals, wildlife, farm animals, our pets. And Francis Wong joins us now, and we're going to get into the world of health and wellness and also, again, some of the things we can do. Let's bring her on board.
Hello, I'm Frances Wong, and I invite you to join me as we explore topics of health and wellness so that you can make the best choices for you to live an informed and radiant life.
Frances, it can seem a little overwhelming when we think of climate change, as we talked about in the last segment, as a matter of fact, but we are one person, so how can we make that little change that impacts our Earth?
Yeah, Kelly, it's really easy to throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, well, there's not much of an impact that I can make to help save our planet, so why bother at all?
Yeah.
But it's the little things that we can do that add up over time to help our climate and environment. We're going to talk about four areas today: the home, food, transportation, and purchases, where you can make personal choices that can help with addressing climate change and your health at the same time.
Okay.
So when we release a lot of carbon dioxide into the air, it causes global temperatures to rise, and this can cause long-term changes to the climate and to weather patterns, so that we can get areas of the world where there's extreme heat and drought and other areas that flood. I like to think of environmentally friendly practices we can do to help slow this process down and protect Earth a little bit more. And also, our health can also benefit from some of these practices. And one of the things that we can easily do right off the top, if you're not already doing this, is to stop using disposable masks. A study published in the Environmental Science and Technology Journal from June 2020 estimated that the usage of disposable masks to be 129 billion and 62 billion gloves per month. That's per month. So not only do the plastics in the masks take hundreds of years to break down, but polypropylene, polyethylene, and vinyl also break down into microplastics. And we have heard this for years about how marine life ends up ingesting these plastics. Mm-hmm. It can end up in our water as well, and we end up ingesting these microplastics.
Yeah. Well, The masks themselves are kind of that thing that we, even from the start, should know, hey, this is going to be a problem with the mass amount we're using.
We can break this down into small pieces so that we can pick up new habits or continue or improve on what we're doing already. And it's already likely that you're taking some steps to help with climate change, whether you realize you've been doing it or not.
Great.
Why don't we start with the things we could do around the home to support this cause?
That's a great place to start, since this is where most of us begin and end our days. Of all the global energy demand, almost 50% is used for heating and cooling. This accounts for around 20% of carbon dioxide emissions, and that's a lot of energy being used. One quick thing you can do is to unplug any appliances and phone chargers when they are not in use. I mean, you're not going to be unplugging your stove every day, but it's simple enough to unplug your toaster, oven, or toaster, or electric kettle if you have one. Did you know that close to 50% of the energy used by cell phones is from leaving the chargers plugged in when not in use?
No idea.
Yeah, that's also a pretty easy thing to unplug if you're not using it. So So if it's on a power bar, even easier at night when you shut down your computer to turn off the power bar and all the associated electronics that are plugged in. You can also turn on the energy save mode on your phone or laptop to help preserve the battery so you don't need to charge it as often, or turn off your phone when you're sleeping. All of these things help to save electricity, but from a health perspective, you are also reducing your own exposure to harmful electromagnetic frequencies. Is there anything you guys do that you can think of that are quick and easy?
Well, I think just to eliminate, or not eliminate, but reduce the amount of time that you put stuff on charges, right? Because sometimes you get into routines and you think, okay, yeah, just keep everything plugged in and because that's what you do overnight or whatever. But to reduce that, Francis, I really like to keep an eye on what my battery levels are actually like. And, you know, there's other things that people share, like make sure your devices actually die or are close to dying before you have to plug them in because of the charging cycles and things. And I'm sure all of that is helping in the long run, too.
I always unplug because I'm from the old school where you can't just unplug a cord from the phone and drop it. Something might happen. So I've always done that kind of thing. Same with the tea kettle and everything like that. But this doesn't need to be plugged in sitting here in case I use it in 7 days, a week, 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good things to do. And then for some future purchases, consider buying energy efficient appliances to replace the ones you have, and also use energy saving light bulbs if you're already not doing that. And then if you have the means and live in a house or are building a new one, you can consider installing or using green energy at home, things like solar panels or even efficient heating.
Mm-hmm. So we always seem to gravitate around talking about food on this show. I don't know why that happens. But what can we do about climate change? Come on, Kelly. In regards to food and climate change.
Yes, I know this is a favorite topic around here, and justifiably so. I mean, we live to eat, not eat to live, right? So
most of us.
Can you guess how much of the world's habitable land, so that's ice-free and desert-free, is used for agriculture?
Wow.
I
can't see it as a lot, like as much as we would think.
Like 100%? No. Like 60%?
No.
Very good. Very close. Half.
Really?
50%. Ooh. Yeah. Of global food production is an issue in that converting land for agricultural use accounts for about a quarter of global greenhouse gas emissions, and one third of food produced is never consumed. This food waste accounts for around 6% of greenhouse gas emissions. So do you guys often find you have stuff lying around in the fridge that you never get around to until it's too late or spoiled to use?
A little, not too much.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Especially like, you know, vegetables or fruit.
Yeah, those are quick to go bad. Yeah, one of the ways to handle this is to create a meal plan. So you're only buying what you need for the week. Obviously, this won't be perfect because sometimes impromptu dinners or meetings may come up. But if you know your schedule ahead of time, it's a great way to reduce waste and also to save yourself from throwing money away. If you find yourself with a lot of food waste, consider keeping a food diary so you can see where you're spending the extra money so you can cut that out in the future. Good for the planet and even better for your wallet. And on the other side of this, there are some stores that will sell imperfect produce. You know, those funny shaped carrots or the apple that isn't quite round. These are perfectly good items to consume, but because they don't fit our image of what the perfect carrot or apple looks like, they often get tossed aside. So check to see if your local grocer carries these items. Usually it's at a discounted rate, and the items may be random of what they have in stock. Speaking of stock, buy local and buy in season. We spoke about eating in season in Ayurveda previously, but another benefit of eating in season is that we're not having to ship watermelons from Mexico in the winter, where we're creating more transportation emissions. In fact, support your local farmers markets and butchers for produce and locally raised meats. They will appreciate your support, and you will be getting the freshest items available that have traveled the least amount to get to you. And fresh foods contain more nutrients than older, staler foods, so this is a benefit for your own health as well. And lastly, you can also compost so that the food waste is being reintegrated back into the earth. If you're in an apartment or condo building, you may already have a compost bin. If not, ask your building management to set one up. If you're in a house, you can consider purchasing or building a compost bin outside so that you are diverting food waste from the landfill.
Excellent. Let's talk about transportation. Is there anything that we can do there to fight climate change?
Right. So we are a very mobile generation where the world is our oyster and the next trip away is a click of a button on the internet to purchase an airline ticket to go anywhere our heart desires. But let's again go back to the home base. Transportation is one of the fastest growing sources of global emissions. This covers air, rail, road, and marine transportation. According to the World Resources Institute, 72% of global transport emissions comes from road vehicles. From our homes, we are often going to work or shopping for groceries or meeting friends. If you're able to walk or bike short distances to where you need to go, and you'll get some fresh air and exercise. So it's a win-win for you and the earth. And I understand it's not always practical, especially during Canadian winters. But if the bus or city train is not an option and you need to rely on the car, consider car shares or carpooling and try to combine your trips. Instead of making a trip to the store and back, then another trip to the doctor and home, make it so that you do it one time to minimize the travel time. And another way that we can become more involved and proactive is to take part in community planning that addresses public spaces and livability. So we're talking bike lanes, parks, sidewalks, and even public transportation routes.
Frances, I loved that in the beginning you said there are some of these things that we probably are already doing. And it's true. You know, when you try to make appointments happen all in one day because you're using a bunch of transportation or you know, trying to minimize your transportation from place to place, that is helpful in this context as well. You might not have thought about it. So it's good encouragement. The last thing that you wanted to cover today was product purchases.
Yes, if this is another area where we can make conscious decisions that have an impact on our environment. According to Patagonia, the outdoor clothing and gear company, the clothing industry contributes anywhere between 3 to 10% of the pollution driving climate change. This is due to a variety of factors, including water use and pollution through dyeing textiles and the pesticides and herbicides pollution from agricultural production of cotton, and the microplastics that are shed during washing of synthetic textiles. And of course, these make their way back into our waterways, affecting both humans and nature, as I mentioned earlier. When we combine products like cars, clothes, food, and other objects we use every day, the amount of global greenhouse emissions is around 45%. There are some things that we can do to help reduce this. When we are making purchases, ask yourself if you really need the item or if you have something already that can do the job. Like, do I need this 20th pair of shoes? Or, you know, consider if you have something broken, can you recycle it or repair the item instead of buying a new one? If you don't have to buy something new, can you buy secondhand or rent or borrow the item that you're not going to use very often? And something you may already be doing is bringing your own, like carrying a travel mug for your coffee so you can avoid the single-use paper cups, which are lined with plastic, which renders them unrecyclable. You can also carry your own set of utensils so you don't have to rely on single-use plastic forks and knives if you're doing takeout at the office for lunch. So it's all these little steps and decisions that we can take to help make the world a better place for us, our health, and for the environment.
Beautiful. It really is, because Frances, I think we, like you said, we get daunted. We get, oh, well, I'll just sign whatever, you know, survey or whatever's going around to say, hey, I'm not really thrilled with what, you know, is going on because, oh, it's too big of a problem for me to tackle. Really appreciate you pointing some of these things out. And for you, what is that really big thing that you feel you do that does that little thing that does that big deal to make a difference?
I think that people can just sort of, if we're more conscious of what we're doing every day, you know, when you're doing something, or, you know, even simple things like water, if you're going to the sink and, you know, you're running the water, can you use that water to water your plants before you, you know, just so that we're not wasting things that we have access to.
Beautiful. Well, I think it's wonderful to think about. And I think when we look at it this way, it makes all of us stop and say, you know what? I do a few things instead of that defeatist attitude. Thanks a lot, Frances. As usual, beautiful segment.
Thank you.
We visit with Frances Wong bi-weekly here on Kelly & Company to talk wellness, and she's opposite our nutrition segment with Julia Karanchis that we'll get into next week with her on the show. You know, Rum, I really love that. I just like, because we get so quick to say, well, I don't really do anything. Now, again, there's always those little things that we still do that we do know. I should really shut this computer off or do something with it. So at night, at least, while it's sitting here. But there's all those things. So really wonderful segment. Coming up next, Canadians are increasingly aware of the impacts of climate change, including more frequent storms. There's a new regional hub for client services in the Maritimes. We're going to learn more about this with Sabi Diaz, Executive Director of Climate Atlantic, next.
You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.